story of Noach, people often think, is the story of Noach. But the story of Parshas Noach is not the story of Noach alone. It's actually three different stories in Parshas Noach, if you actually read from the beginning to the end of the Parsha, and not just, you know, the Bill Cosby version of Noah and the Ark and what happened. The story is three different stories. If you're not familiar with the Bill Cosby version, I recommend searching. It's hysterical. It covers...
Can I
tweet it? I don't know. The parasha covers three generations, three different stories. First, you have the story of Noach and the Mabul. Then you have the story of Migdal Bavel. And then you have the story of the beginning of Avram Avinu and his travels. The beginning of the life of Avram Avinu. And this happens over a span of how long? Roughly 1,000 years. So Parshas Noach covers a pretty big chunk of history, of human history. But Noach lived to see pretty much all of it. What's the progression from one to the other? What exactly is the Chumash teaching us by highlighting these three episodes? The flood, Migdal Bavel, and Avram Avinu's beginnings. Second, the justification HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses for bringing the Mabul is very fascinating in that it is almost identical to the justification Hashem uses when He promises never to bring a Mabul again. Hashem says, why am I bringing a Mabul? Vayar Hashem ki rabba ra'as ha'adam ba'aretz. That man has done a lot of bad things on this earth. V'kol yetzer machshavos libo rak kol hayom. And everything that he thinks about and that he tries to do is all evil all day. And that's why vayinachim Hashem ki asad ha'adam. Hashem regrets having created man, and Hashem decides He's going to bring a Mabul. So He brings the Mabul. Humanity's wiped out except for Noach and his family. And then after the Mabul's over, Hashem promises, okay, it's never going to happen again. I'm never going to bring another Mabul. Why? Why will I never ever bring another Mabul again? Vayomer Hashem el libo. Lo osif lekalel odes ha'adam abavur ha'adam. I'm not going to curse the ground anymore because of man. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min urav. Because man is inherently bad. Wait, that's why He brought the Mabul in the first place. He brings the Mabul because He says, well, man is inherently bad. Kol yetzer machshavos libo rak ra kol hayom. That's why I'm bringing the Mabul. And then, after the Mabul's over, He says, okay, here's why I'm never allowed to bring a Mabul. Because yetzer lev adam ra min urav, man is bad. Well, that was the reason to bring the Mabul. That was the reason to do it. How could that also be the reason not to do it? How does that make sense? How can the idea that man is evil serve as both the reason to make a Mabul and the reason to never again make a Mabul? Third, in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem promises Avram Avinu, Va'ata tavo el avosecha b'shalom. You one day are going to come to your fathers in peace. You're going to join your father in death. Now, Avram sort of made his name by running away from his father. That's what made him great. He's going to join his father. His father is Novid Avodah Zarah. According to the Medrash, quoted in Rashi at the end of this week's Parsha, Terach was the one who gave Avram over to Nimrod to have him thrown in the Kivshan Eish. He wanted to sacrifice Avram. He was Novid Avodah Zarah. He was awful. The great bracha is you'll join your father. Why would Avram want to join that father? So it's important to realize, and I've said this 1,000 times, and we've said it a lot when we're learning Orchas Tzaddikim. The Orchas Tzaddikim bases much of the Sefer on this premise. Mori Verabi Rav Shechter over and over again talks about this, that there are a lot of midos, positive midos that people could have, and there are a lot of negative midos people could have. What is the worst mida? The worst character trait a person could possibly ever have. What is the avi avos hatuma of all midos, ra'os, mashchasos, muganos? What is the worst mida? Gaiva. Right? So you listen. I've said it, right? Gaiva is the worst mida a person could have. The avi avos hatuma, the Orchas Tzaddikim says, I start with gaiva because it's the most important one. It's the most important to avoid. Now, gaiva expresses itself in different ways with different people. Some people express gaiva in a very blatant and obvious way, by the way they carry themselves and they speak, where they clearly are talking down to everybody around them. Some people express gaiva in the exact opposite way, by being so over-the-top humble, where it's so clear that all they're trying to do is to get everyone to say how humble this guy is. Like to try to draw attention to how humble they're being. I'm a nobody, I'm a nobody. Gaiva comes in many different forms, but it's so corrosive. You know, there have been, I'm hesitant whether I should say this, but there have been times, rarely, but times, where my Rebbe has told me, you know, maybe don't have such a close relationship with this or that rabbi. Didn't say anything else, just like maybe, you know, don't admire him so much. You know, someone that I'd be otherwise impressed by. And then, years later, we discover something awful about that person. Something comes out. And he has such a sense for it. Like, it's unbelievable. Every time. Every time. Like, what did he know? How did you know that this person had done these awful things? And the answer is, he didn't know. But he knew they were Balei Gaiva. And if a person is Balei Gaiva, they believe they can get away with anything. And it's just so corrosive. Ultimately, it will come out and it will be something terrible. The generation of the Mabul was hedonistic, was pleasure-seeking. The clear goal of their lives was enjoy themselves as much as possible. It was all about indulging themselves and entirely ignoring the effect that indulgence is going to have on other people. It was gaiva in a very obvious way. It was all about making themselves satisfied. The generation of Migdal Bavel was almost the exact opposite. No regard for the individual. They were disciplined, they were organized, everyone had a job, and they were all about the common goal of working together. Doesn't sound like Gaiva, right? But ironically, their motivation was an even more stunning level of Gaiva than the Dara Mabel had. They were power addicted. They wanted to rule over heaven and earth. They wanted to conquer God. That's the Lashon Chazal used. They wanted to conquer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is there a bigger gaiva than that? It expressed itself differently, but it was just the same gaiva. People get bored of indulgence after a while, and they want to satisfy a desire for something bigger, so they start a project that they can convince themselves is a noble one, but it's still based in that same midah. The response to that kind of arrogance is an Avram Avinu. Somebody who is the exact opposite of gaiva. No self-indulgence, no self-interest, no interest in power. He gives up a place in a prominent family, in a community, to be considered an outcast and a nobody and a kook who believes in this idea of one God. And he goes around declaring God's existence, and everyone's laughing at him and mocking him at first. And the same man who declares Anochi Afer Ve'efer is the response to those two generations. The man who has no political aspirations, ironically, is the one who ends up having Kol Malchei Mizrach U'Marav Mishtachavim Lo. All of the kings of the world bow at his feet. Avram and his emphasis on other people, chesed, reaching out to others, not about me. I don't care that I'm in pain on the third day of my bris milah. I need to give, I need to do for others. He changes humanity. Humanity emerges successful after a Dara Mabel, after a Dara Faga, because of an Avram Avinu. Where did Avram Avinu come from? His father was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. He was raised to be an Ovid Avodah Zarah. The Rambam writes that in his youth, Avram also went to the Avodah Zarah churches, the temples, and whatever else with his father, because that's what a good boy does. You go along with wherever your parents tell you to go, and he did. And in that, a second critical lesson emerges. That if a person is willing to look at himself with humility and with honesty and avoid the belief that I'm perfect as I am already and I don't need to fix myself, he can always find some spark of Kedusha and fan those embers of Kedusha and become someone great, even if his father was Novi Devil Dezara, even if he was raised to be Novi Devil Dezara. You don't give up on a person. As long as there's humility, there will always be the willingness to change. According to the Ibn Ezra, Terach only left to Haran after Avram Avinu was told to leave Or Kasdim, meaning that Terach left because of Avram's command to leave, which means that Terach left his position in a royal court because he had Hirhurei Tshuva, and he realized that his son discovered the truth. When Kadosh Baruch Hu brings the Mabul, he declares that man is Rak Ra. No spark, only evil. There's nothing to work with. After the Mabul Hashem skips that word, rak. He says he's ra, man is bad. man has done a lot of bad things and will do a lot of bad things. But as long as he's not rak ra, as long as he could somehow be humbled, as long as there's some spark in there, we can work with him. The ability of Tarach to change his own life on a dime when he had so much to lose reflects how he had that humility. Not just willpower, but humility. He was willing to consider the possibility that everything he had worked with for his whole life was just wrong. And not about a minor issue, about the most important issue in the world, the purpose of life. What are we here for? When you have a father like that, no matter how badly he had sinned, he has a son like an Avraham Avinu. And it's a bracha for Avraham Avinu to return. It's much easier said than done. We're terrible at self-assessment. We all think that we're smarter and better looking than we are. I've mentioned to you in the past, they've done polls where they ask people, do you think that you are average intelligence, below average intelligence, or above average intelligence? And something like 80-something percent of people believe that they are above average intelligence. They could have years and years of experience of horrible grades and stupid decisions and whatever, and all, mountains of evidence against it, but they still believe that they're above average. Are you average looking, less than average looking, better looking than average? Everyone believes higher percentage, more than 50% believe they're above average. We're terrible at self-assessing. It's very hard. It's very hard to look honestly at ourselves. But that midah, that humility, to be able to look honestly at ourselves and assess ourselves is can be the core and the cornerstone of a life of Kedusha. I was talking last year, I had a conversation with Rav Hoberman, who is the Rosh Yeshiva in the Yeshiva in Long Beach. And he told me that his father, who had authored more than 30 Svarim, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and Yirei Shemayim, grew up in Baltimore in the 1930s. And he said his father told him that he remembered, you know how you hear these stories about these heroes during the Great Depression who would, you know, they would lose their jobs every Friday and still they said, I will not work on Shabbos. You know why those people are considered heroes? Because 99% of people were not doing that. They were working on Shabbos. Rabbi Hoberman said he remembers his father used to say that as a little boy, he remembers going to shul with his grandfather very early Shabbos morning so that the grandfather could make it back on time to open up his store. He wasn't one of the heroes. How did such a man have a grandson who became such a significant Talmud Chacham in Rosh Yeshiva? He sent his kid to public school, and one day the kid said, came home from school and said, Dad, why don't we celebrate Christmas? Why don't we celebrate Halloween? Well, my friends do. And the father was so taken aback by that that he immediately reassessed his entire plan and how to raise his kids. But how do you do that? How do you reassess like that? You reassess like that because you're willing to consider the possibility that what you've been doing is wrong. Is it terrible to work on Shabbos? It's terrible to work on Shabbos. Is there hope for a person? There's hope for a person if a person is honest, if a person is humble, if a person is willing to look at himself in an honest way. The message of the Mabul and humanity's ultimate success in showing that we have learned the lessons of the Mabul and the Dara Flaga is to develop a sense of humility. Humility in the way that we interact with God, humility in the way that we interact with other people, and humility in the way that we interact with ourselves, that we view ourselves. When we have that, that cornerstone midah, the first two chapters of Orchel Sadikim, for a reason, when we have that cornerstone midah, everything else can follow.